also called the FTAA. This would outsource millions more American jobs and businesses. How can our country survive this devastation again? Learn how you can help. Visit www.stoptheftaa.org or call 1-800-JBS-USA1. Log on to our website and let Congress know that you think FTAA is not an option for America's future. Stoptheftaa.org and keep American jobs in America.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty.
Are you there?
And now, here's your host, Jackie Butcher.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Tuesday. It is the 28th of March in the year 2005. Today is day 11 for Terri Schiavo, folks. And I wanted to say this tonight. Just because we aren't spending the entire broadcast discussing Terri does not mean that we give up. Not that it's necessarily going to make a difference, but I think that the calls and the emails and the faxes should keep going into Jeb Bush. And basically, just to let them know, folks, how many of us know that he knows, and maybe that's all the good that it would do, but it doesn't mean we just sit back and say, okay, that's it, it's over, because it's never over till the fat lady sings. At least that's what I learned in school. I don't know what you learned. Our spiritual message this evening is Saint Francis of Assisi prayer. Father, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, let me sow faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, let me sow light. And where there is sadness, joy. Father, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is dying that we are born into eternal life. That is very lovely for me. And our guest this evening, once again, is Alan Watt, folks. And Alan, thanks so much for being here.
It's a pleasure if we're actually on.
Yeah, are we actually on?
I don't know.
Okay, well, folks, I want to say this for our shortwave listeners. If you can hear me, I don't know what the reception is like tonight, but I did receive a call today from George McClintock, the general manager at WWCR, and George heard the broadcast last night and realizes that there is a problem, and they are working to try to get to the core of whatever in the world it is. In fact, he said that when he heard the terrible mush of last night, that he thought our listeners would be just furious, and he said, I wouldn't blame them because they would probably think that we're doing something. So I want you to know that George has promised that they are going to look into it, try to get to the core of it, and then will get back with me as soon as they come up with something. And Alan, that was admirable of him.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't have to make the call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think. So anyway, folks, I hope that you can hear us tonight. Last night, I understand that none of our shortwave listeners could hear the broadcast. So what we are going to do is wind up replaying it, if not tomorrow night, maybe next Monday, because it's a broadcast that I would want you to hear. And Alan,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the sake of our shortwave listeners who didn't hear it last night, basically what we talked about was what was going on behind the scenes with this Terry Schiavo situation being, like you said, on everywhere you turned, every TV, radio, etc.
Yeah.
And what was going on behind the scenes was the merging of the Americas, yes?
That's right, on the 23rd.
And so for the sake of our listeners who really couldn't hear this last night, could we just you brief them again on this, Alan?
Yeah, well, the week previously on the 14th, the Council on Foreign Relations broadcast on television their plan for the future, which was basically an amalgamated Americas. And then the following week, Prime Minister Martin of Canada and Mr. Bush and Mr. Fox met in Waco, Texas, before going on to the ranch there. And on two television stations in Canada, the CBC, which is the government station, and the city television, they showed us two versions, and you could piece together the whole thing from the two. In other words, they were heavily censored, but it did come out, and one reporter did ask when the three amigos, as they called them, were up on stage.
The three amigos?
That's what they call them, yeah.
Oh, for God's sake.
When they're up on stage.
In Canada.
Yeah.
That was a good way to bring Mexico up to Canada, wasn't it?
Yes. And they said, this is, the reporter asked him, he says, is this the amalgamation the same as the European Union style? And Paul Martin stepped in and he gave a vague answer, which he said, it's not quite the Big Bang. And then he rambled on from there. But then Mr. Bush stepped in. He was rather enthusiastic, and he wasn't reading a script. And he got carried away, I think. And he says, I envisage a closer cooperation and ties. Now, that's the same terminology they used all through the free trade amalgamation for the Europeans, was closer ties.
I know, Alan.
And what they've done is sign into law that... a common taxation system for the whole Americas, a common right to all natural resources shared amongst them all, which are the big boys anyway, it's nothing to do with us, and a gradual disappearing of the borders within 4 years, which is exactly the same format as when you join the European Union. As they're amalgamating, they get 4 years for the dissolution of the borders. So this
Jesus.
Is all part one. They signed it into law, and they've got 9 more meetings this year to fast-track the rest of it through.
And that 4 years gives them an opportunity to very slowly and subtly pull it over on the people, to where the people, by the time that, quote, 4 years is up there, full-fledged into it and don't even know it, Alan.
They won't even know. In fact, they already admitted that the CIA and Canada's CSIS, a similar organization, are already blended. The law enforcements are all being amalgamated right now. Bureaucrats from the Canadian government can now apply to work in the U.S. federal government and vice versa. So it's
already here. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Is that, well, why is it then we would have a Russian Jew, Chertoff, for head of the Homeland Security?
Well, he's had plenty of training and experience with the KGB. I mean, the Russians had the trial run of how to contain a whole people.
Yes, they did, didn't they?
And brainwash them and keep them living in fear, you know.
For our listeners, and I, folks, I know you've heard this. if you are a long-time listener, but the book that I read by Mikhail Heller, when Alan mentions Russia or the Soviet Union, and it was a giant laboratory, is exactly what it is, what it was. They created the new man. The new man was the Soviet man, by the way. And he says, listen to this. I just grabbed the book here, Alan. He said, I've got the wrong page. He said that in the Soviet Union, people aren't born. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
In the Soviet Union, people aren't born. Organisms are born. And we turn them into people, he said. We turn them into truck drivers, tractor drivers, academicians, etc. And he said it took millions of years for man to become Homo sapien, but he said in 60 short years we have created a whole new species called the Soviet man. Homo Sovieticus, Alan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Geez, Zowie.
Yeah, you see, that's the planned society which the elite wrote about over 100 years ago.
Yeah, I can't find this place in the book, but I guess I don't need it. This is exactly what is happening, just what he just said.
Yes.
A whole new species has emerged, Alan.
Well, when you read...
like the cougars.
Yeah, like Bertrand Russell and all the other front men who were told what to write, basically. And Bertrand Russell was Lord Bertrand Russell, so he was talking from the perspective of one of the elite.
Mm-hmm.
But in his own books, he said that the future that we are creating will not be haphazard. He says no one will be born into the society unless we have a function for them. So you're talking about the totally planned society.
Yes. And this it leads back into the bioethics,
mm-hmm.
with what's going on with Terry. I have been reading a lot about so-called bioethics.
Yes.
Realizing, of course, that it isn't ethical at all.
Well, it's the new name. See, the Rockefellers started up back in the 1920s, the first eugenic society.
Yes, yes.
And now, of course, it got a dirty name, and you know, after they measured people's skulls and decided you weren't worth living, so they changed their name to bioethics, which is more consumer-friendly.
That's right.
And so, they don't plan to have... people born, or at least allowed to live.
That's right. And folks, listening to this, because Alan, I honestly, when I read Orwell's 1984,
mm-hmm.
It didn't hit me that this is what they mean.
Yeah.
And it is certainly, of course, hitting me now. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a tendency to hear it, but not really hear it. We listen, but we don't get it. That what exactly Alan and I are talking about right now is exactly the plan. In other words, and my sis said this today, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you mean, in other words, if my hips get bad, they could just kill me? I said, that's right, sis.
Yes.
And that's exactly, folks, they're talking about the marginal elders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're saying it, I've read enough that
mm-hmm.
they're saying it right out loud, that this is going to be the treatment of, I forget how they call it, withholding food and water.
Well, starvation. I mean, it's...
But no, it isn't starvation. It's dehydration, Alan.
As well, yeah.
I mean,
regardless, it's murder. But see, they put their own books out there many years ago, and nobody reads them. And these are not conspiracy books, because they're written by people who attend these meetings.
Yes.
I mean, Bertrand Russell was a member of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, which is the British Commonwealth version of the CFR. It's all one big club.
Yeah.
And he wrote The Impact of Science on Society. That's one of his books.
Huh.
And he goes through this very thing that they'd have to consider how much of a population they would actually need to fulfill certain basic functions, and then decide, which ones out of that population they would allow to live to fulfill those roles.
Yes.
Based on IQ, fitness, and so on. Now, when you
or lack thereof.
Yes,
because there are certain...
Can you couple that with the definition of the UN of a good world citizen, which Mr. Rockefeller calls himself? A good world citizen under the UN definition is a good producer-consumer. Now, when you become purely a consumer, you're now a useless eater. You're wasting the resources of the world.
Right.
So you can see how it's all working perfectly along the same lines to where they want us all to go.
Yes.
Yeah. It's perfect because they're all working in tandem and they're on the same track. And no public, when he hears this...
It doesn't register, Alan.
He can't believe it, really.
Well, of course not, because it's taken a long time for me to actually get it, that what we're talking about is for real.
Yes.
I mean, we've talked about it, this, and I've written about it, not this particular, but all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it stays in a realm in our mind somewhere that it's unreal, even though we know it is real.
Until the knock comes to your door.
Exactly, but no, see, before that, sometimes you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Before the knock comes,
mm-hmm.
I got it. I got it, and it's the seriousness of it for people to understand
mm-hmm.
is cannot be exaggerated.
No, that's just it. You see, we're living under mind control. In fact, the whole system from birth is intense mind control, which is reinforced through a universal schooling system, so that everyone grows up with the same impressions and ideas, thinking they're sane because their neighbor and all their friends who went through the same system all have the same opinion, so we must all be sane. That's how easy it is to train a whole society or a world to live under mind control and never know it. And Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's he's still one of the top advisors there for all the presidencies, you know. Brzezinski, in his own books, Between Two Eras, and the Technotronic era, talked in the 60s about the coming population. He said we are almost at the stage where the average individual is unable to think for themselves.
Yeah.
He said all they'll be able to do shortly is repeat what was downloaded into them on the previous night's news. Now, when you couple that with...
That is true.
Now, when you couple that with what Bertrand Russell said... in his book, The Impact of Science on Society, it's the same damn scheme. Bertrand Russell said that they were training the people to only believe in the experts.
Well,
and that
yes.
The experts for everything.
Yes.
And that is a fact.
And when people argue with you,
mm-hmm.
they say, I know it. And when you ask them how they know it, because some guy in a white coat
mm-hmm.
on the television said it.
Yes, that's correct. And that's exactly what happened with the Schiavo case. We watched the people with the professional uniforms on, you know, and I'm talking about the suits and ties, because fascism comes...
Oh, of course, suits.
Yeah, fascism comes with a suit and tie, not with a uniform, and it's with a friendly face. And then you see the judges with their cloaks on, you know, so we're all impressed by these experts.
Their black robes.
And really, you know, these are just people. And 100 years ago, if they tried this, those people wouldn't be walking around too long, you know. But everyone's been emasculated through this mind control
uh-huh.
system we've been under.
Yeah.
And the men, especially today, hardly know really what they are. You know, they've been accused of everything so much that you know, they've lost their natural abilities, you might say, to maintain.
You mean with the feminist movement?
The feminist movement, well, everything. I mean, the white man's been blamed for everything that's happened on the planet. You know, and so, yeah, he doesn't know which way to go, if he's doing something right or wrong or whatever. He's unsure of himself, in other words. He doesn't act on his impulse or instinct of self-preservation.
Instincts, yes.
You know.
And that is the male instinct.
And this was
not
all
only
done,
self-preservation,
again,
but protectionist.
Yes, and this was what they call scientific socialism, through a process, a careful, gradual process over maybe 50 years, Russell and other ones, and H.G. Wells said the same thing. They said we can basically reduce the male to being impotent, you know, mentally impotent.
Mentally, oh my, my.
And that has been achieved, you know. That has been achieved. And of course, people think they have a free media. There are no free medias out there.
What do you mean, free media?
Independent.
Well, there's us.
Well, that's maybe it. But out there, I'm talking about the regular, you know, the mainstream, usual. When they can spray whole continents from the sky for the last 5 or 6 years on an almost a daily basis, not one newspaper or television station is even, obviously, they won't even mention it.
Isn't, yes.
So that tells you that, no,
where
they are not independent whatsoever.
Exactly, where the control is.
They're totally controlled.
You know what was amazing to me?
Mm-hmm.
When I was reading Doug Reed's book, The Controversy of Zion,
yeah.
Back in the 1700s, Alan, he told about the press control back then.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how the press could totally ruin an individual
mm-hmm.
who was standing up telling the truth.
Yes, oh yes. That was 200 years ago. I've seen some of the original newspapers of the 1700s, because I used to go to the old libraries in Scotland.
Uh-huh.
And I can't even describe what they'd put on, a political cartoon, when they were bringing somebody down, because it was pre-Victorian, and you wouldn't believe what they put, you know, how they cartoon people in order to discredit them. But it's always been this way. You know, I mean, for mind control, you must have all the media working for you, because the public get most of their ongoing adult education, as it's called, cryptically, from the media, and that gives them what their sense of reality.
Yeah, who was the prime minister before Churchill?
Oh, Lloyd George.
No, okay.
Oh, there was also Lloyd George was in. Yeah.
No, well. Somebody before him? No. Doggone it.
You talk about the one who went and signed the pact with or the treaty with Hitler?
Yes.
Yeah, and he came back.
What was his name?
It slipped my mind.
Good Lord.
I can actually see him.
I can't see him, but anyway, it'll come in.
Yeah, and he
but,
held
you know,
up the treaty.
This reminds me of the same thing.
Yeah.
What was his name? Anyway... He went and spoke personally with Adolf Hitler,
yeah.
And came back, and he announced there will be no war.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in England were cheering and celebrating. The people in Germany were cheering. Does it start with an N?
Or Neville
Chamberlain.
No,
Neville
Chamberlain.
Chamberlain. Yes, it was Neville,
yeah.
Chamberlain. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. Okay, folks, this is the power of the press
mm-hmm.
that we're talking about. He actually... he negotiated a peace with Germany, and when he came back and announced that, and everybody was cheering, what they did in about a few weeks span of time is that they the press totally denigrated him. He was blamed for something that had to do with the Navy that Churchill actually was responsible for, and he was run right out of office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was the press doing it again, because they were going to have their war.
Oh, this war was planned. And to be honest, it's just my opinion, but I think the top boys on all sides are always in on it, you know.
Yes.
In fact, when Hess flew to Britain, I don't know if people realize that Hess was related to the royal family.
Was he really?
The House of Hess is part of the Saxe-Coburg-Gotha right line, yeah.
Why'd he stay in prison then the rest of his life?
Well, we don't even know if he did, you know.
We don't know, do we, Alan?
And in fact, they've even had BBC programs on that where no one was allowed to see him. And on one occasion, one of his relatives said that wasn't him.
Uh-huh.
So we'll never really know the story.
The story about that,
but the
that,
thing
right.
is, though, do you know where he took off to go and see? Who he was going to see?
Who was he going to see?
He was going to see Lord Lothian, who was the head of the Royal Institute of International Affairs.
Oh, my.
The CFR.
Wow.
That he landed on his property.
I remember reading that, Alan.
And you see, so these guys had all planned this thing, and I'm sure they said, you know, to Gadolf and so on, you go so far, then you'll come in, then we'll have a bit of fighting and we'll have a truce. But of course, they did a bad deal with them, and Hess came over to see what was going on. So you know, these are all chess games, and even those who go along with it can get dragged right down the tubes.
Yeah.
But they've planned many wars in the past. This is an old strategy. In fact, Plato talked about it, where the elite of Athens and all the other islands, Iona and the Attica, they'd agreed amongst themselves to have wars every so often to, number one, benefit the bankers, because they had to buy new weapons after the vanquished all died and so on, and to keep the populations down. So they had this regular wars going round. And they decided beforehand who was going to declare victory for the history
and
book.
So what's new today, huh,
There's
Alan?
Nothing new, no.
There's nothing new?
No. And of course, it was
Harold
Quigley said that wars, he says, wars are actually fought, he said, to achieve social change.
Right. Well, remember Norman Dodd from the, what the heck was it, the Carnegie Foundation?
Mm-hmm.
He read it right in their notes when he went in to get their notes.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, they're all in the... stored away because once the U.S. joined the U.N.,
mm-hmm.
our work was done.
Well, and people don't even realize...
And in there, he read, in their minutes of their meetings,
mm-hmm.
in early 1900s,
mm-hmm.
when would be... where would be... Well, first of all, the question was asked, is there any way to change a society or a... What would we call it?
Mm-hmm.
Any better way other than war? And they came up with no war is the way. If you want it never to return to the way it was, you have a war.
Yeah.
And then they decided, well, let's see. Where should we have that war then? Oh, the Balkans would be a good place
mm-hmm.
because that's a place that's already filled with unrest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they planned this in 1906, Alan.
Oh, yeah.
And the First World War broke out, what, 1913?
14, yeah.
14, okay. Oh, that's right. Because, now, I don't know if this is true, but I have read it, that they decided that they didn't want to have that first war
mm-hmm.
until the Federal Reserve Act was passed in the U.S.
That is true.
And then the American people can pay for the war.
That's right.
That's right.
I mean, Mandel House basically set
Mandel
that
House,
up.
Yes.
Yeah. And Mandel House was, he's often called the man who lived through five presidents because he advised five presidents.
He was Wilson's alter ego, wasn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, Wilson was a puppet.
And
even some of the memoirs of those around him admitted that.
Well, he was prideful, Alan.
Oh, yeah. And he wasn't very
bright. You know, stroke him,
mm-hmm.
give him some... money and give him a nice, big, huge, impressive home.
Yes.
That's what it took for him.
Yes.
That's all it took for him.
That's right. He was the most boring speech maker ever, apparently.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Mandel House was called the park bench politician.
Yeah, because he used to sit out on the park bench telling him what to do.
And you know why?
Uh-uh.
Well, remember he wrote a novel called Philip Drew Administrator.
Yes, I read it.
Well, in the novel, he's even got himself in the novel in a place called Mandel House.
Yes.
And in the novel, which was written around, what, 1912?
Yeah.
He says a group of powerful men set up an invisible government and buy politicians to front for
them. Hey, Alan, well, we have to take our break.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the music is playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's drowning out your voice, but I don't want to take a chance that it is.
Okay.
So we'll pick this up on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, get your pen in hand, please. And we'll be back. Alan and I will be back right after this. 60 seconds. If, Alan... If it gets quiet and I'm not back yet,
yeah.
You just start in, okay, please?
No.
Okay, thank you. It's nice to have you in the back.
Thank you. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dog.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, folks, we're back with you. Alan Watt is our guest tonight. And as usual, I don't know about for you, but we wend ourselves into conversations that are so fascinating and so enlightening that, Alan, thanks for coming on with me.
It's a pleasure. Yeah.
It is really, okay, we were talking about Mendel House. You were talking about the book that he wrote. That was in 1912,
yeah.
2 years before the First World War, an administrator.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and he said that special advisors would be the real powers behind the man that the public sees as the president or prime ministers, because they were taking over the world. And in the novel, one of the presidents starts to get uppity and believe he really is the president, so they have to take him down a few pegs. Now, the method that the big boys used, and believe this or not, this is 1912, was to install tape recorders before they were invented, by the way.
You're kidding.
And they taped all his conversations and then exposed some of it to the public, to the media, that then criticized the president, and that brought him back into line.
Now, where did you ever read this, that they had tape recorders back
in? This is in his novel.
Oh my God, Alan.
And that's why.
Oh my God, you're right. Philip Drew, administrator.
Yeah, and that is why.
Oh.
That is why Mandel House himself was called the park bench advisor, because he always talked to the press or everybody else on a park bench where no one could tape him. Now, this is before the public ever heard of or saw a tape recorder.
That's right.
And these guys always have advanced sciences way ahead of what the public knows.
And, you know, I remember reading, and I think this was in Doug Reed's book,
mm-hmm.
Controversy of Zion, Edward Mendel House actually was running the government.
Yes.
And he would have meetings with high people from other countries,
mm-hmm.
in his apartment.
Yeah.
And there was one time when Woodrow Wilson, the president, was in there, and some ambassador or something came into Mandel House's apartment,
mm-hmm.
and he excused the president from the room.
Yeah.
Alan.
I can't believe it, yeah.
Yep. And after that, I think, is when Woodrow Wilson was just pretty much, you know, done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he served his purpose.
Yeah.
He tried to set up the League of Nations, and that was one of his main jobs.
No, he didn't.
No, but he
well, he was credited with it.
Yeah, he tried. Yeah, he was the front.
Well,
man.
Yeah.
But
you remember, it was before it was the League of Nations.
Yeah.
It was called the League to Enforce Peace.
That's right. Yeah.
The League to Enforce Peace.
Double speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But isn't it amazing though that even in that novel, he gives you the fact that there are men behind the scenes who are big multi-billionaires who then employ the advisors and train the advisors. The advisors tell the presidents and prime ministers what really is the future, because they plan the future like a business plan. And then they use that exact technique of bringing down a president
today. Anytime.
With Nixon.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
The same technique they debugged the whole White House with tape recorders.
Well, actually, now we were told that Nixon was playing tapes because he wanted to write his memoirs.
Well, that's the story, but at the time they actually said, before they came up with that, it was for another reason.
Oh, in other words, that's why they had the tape.
Mm-hmm.
That was the justification.
Yep.
You're right, because, you know, in the book, mm-hmm. Henry Kissinger,
yeah.
that is addressed
mm-hmm.
Exactly what you just said,
yeah.
the way they hid. Mm-hmm. They actually bugged his office.
That's
and,
right.
ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. The book that I just referred to, Henry Kissinger, by Gary Allen, has been transcribed, and you can find it in Sweet Liberty in our book section. It's probably someplace else, but you can just put it in the search engine, and the book is there, and you can read it. It's Alan. It was unbelievable mm-hmm. the way they set that man up.
Yeah, and as I say, it's more incredible that somebody wrote about that technique around 1912.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even tape recorders, before the public ever heard of a
yep.
tape recorder.
Well, see, I need to read that book, Ken.
Yep.
Because mm-hmm. I read it quite a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't mean like 20 years ago, but
yep.
before I was really seeing Alan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was intense enough reading it then, but I can't imagine what I would see when I read it the second time.
That's right. No, everything is... It's amazing how much is out there to the public and the public don't see it.
Doesn't, yeah.
And that's what they call the mocking of the victim in masonry, you know. They will put something out there. It's not up to them if you understand it or not. It's a form of legality that they have shown you, and stupid you if you didn't catch on.
That's a form of legality.
Yep.
That's exactly what's happening right now with the Terry Schiavo case.
Yes, it is.
It's all legal. It's all the courts, the law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, they're lying at every turn
yeah.
because the law is there that prohibits what they're doing.
Yes.
But that doesn't even mm-hmm. matter, Alan.
Well, as I say, it's a Masonic must-be. It's a must-be, and nothing will stop it because... this was planned to go through. It's got to go down in the books as precedent. It gives them the right then to decide by the court who will live and die.
Who will live and die.
And also what they determine as quality of life will go down on the books.
Oh, but they get the man on the street
mm-hmm.
saying, I think I told you this, that when I talked to Jody about this,
mm-hmm.
and she asked me, you know, what I thought about it. But before she, you know, got my answer, she said, you know, Mom, I wouldn't want to live like her with you. And Alan, Jody is a very compassionate person.
Yeah.
So this gives me a glimpse
mm-hmm.
of how slick they are. So I began to tell Jody, first of all, that she wouldn't even be in that condition if she had ever had any therapy.
Yes.
And I mean, it goes on and on and on, Alan.
I know. I mean, there's a woman on a show here not long ago who had a massive stroke. And
that was Kate Adamson, probably.
Well, I know that she's doing well now, and she can talk and
well, that's the point. But the point I was making is this.
Mm-hmm.
In the face of all the evidence that is out there,
yeah.
what they keep saying is they keep pushing this into people's minds.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to live like that, would you?
In a vegetative state.
In a vegetative state.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Exactly.
Yeah, over and over.
And, Alan...
And the fact is...
These are not the people
mm-hmm.
who are saying, why don't you let her die?
Yeah.
I've had people write to me, two or three people,
yeah.
and say, why don't you leave it alone? Let
yes.
her die.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't you have any compassion?
And here you are being taken through a Masonic, high Masonic psychodrama. This is what this production
is. Yes, it
is. And they have the public doing exactly as they're trained to do, debate A and B, and they're all each other's throats over it. And yet none of the public have been there themselves.
That's
they've taken
right.
everything from the media, which is very little,
yes.
and made decisions And giving the tacit assent to this.
That is the point, exactly the point,
mm-hmm.
that everything they do,
mm-hmm.
they wind up getting the, they call it the mandate.
Yes.
The people's
mm-hmm.
mandate,
yep.
Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they do it.
That's right. And the public have no idea that this now gives the government a rubber band which can be stretched and stretched called their decision on quality of life and what a vegetative state is.
I know it. And you know what?
Yeah.
I'm just totally changing the subject on us.
Mm-hmm.
But every single one of our listeners, we can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the opportunity arises almost every single conversation we have with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thought that just came to my mind, Amber called me, you know, Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And she says, "Happy Easter, Momo." I said, "Happy Ishtar, honey."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, what does that mean? And I began to tell her.
Yeah.
And I said, "Go into the Internet, because they do the computer stuff." And I said, "You'll find this very fascinating."
Yeah.
We talked about the egg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bunnies don't lay eggs. Why do we have Easter eggs? Well, because Ishtar hatched from an egg.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, somewhere in her mind, this is going to stay there, Alan.
Yeah.
And what else can we do?
Mm-hmm.
What more can we do? I shouldn't say what else.
Mm-hmm.
But what more can we do than at every opportunity offer an opportunity to our kindred,
mm-hmm.
Brothers, sisters, to at least consider the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I said last night, you know, even though I knew when this hit mainstream the way it did,
mm-hmm.
I knew that they were using it. And I, you know, of course, you see all the hooks and
yep.
what they're doing. And knowing that I was doing exactly what they wanted me to do,
mm-hmm.
I did it, Alan,
mm-hmm.
because I could not sit and say, okay,
yeah.
well, they're playing a game, and I'm not going to play that game with them.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot sit back and not do what you can,
mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't just Terry anyway.
No, and that's what Joe Public doesn't realize if they give their consent to this.
I know.
This isn't about one person. This is the right of the government to now on to decide from now on, right into the future, who can live and who can die by a court order, you know.
And yet, while that is true, it mm-hmm. is about one person.
Mm-hmm.
It is about Terry Schiavo,
mm-hmm.
a woman who is being murdered
in
cold blood,
design.
In plain
yeah.
sight
mm-hmm.
of the entire world, Alan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, as I say, it's set up the same way as when they shot Kennedy.
Yeah.
They made sure the whole world was watching. The whole world goes through the psychodrama. It has a shock effect
oh,
on the
God,
person,
yes.
highly emotive, highly charged with emotion, and the public are being led from beginning to end through a chess game in which they don't even know they're participating.
Yeah.
Because they're getting their approval.
Well, see, but I knew I was participating,
mm-hmm.
and I still did it.
Yeah.
And Alan, it isn't that I wrestle with that,
mm-hmm.
but I think about how slick they are,
mm-hmm.
that they get us in these places
yep.
where we're damned if we do,
mm-hmm.
and we're damned if we don't.
Yes, I know. And at the same time, as everybody starts taking on the pros and cons and fighting with each other about it, all from the media, as
yes.
it's designed to do, as I say, the most historical thing that's happened since the American Revolution just took place.
Yeah.
On the 23rd, and no one knew.
Without a shot being fired.
That's right. And that's so typical.
By the suits.
Yes, plus they have their sacrifice. They always have a sacrifice when they build a new structure.
Oh.
And this is it. It's all at Easter time, too. It's perfect. It's a beautiful Masonic script.
This is a real window of opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing, you know, their own Masonic
mm-hmm.
Holidays,
Yes.
Probably astrologically,
mm-hmm.
it suited for what they did.
Oh yes, and for the high Masons, they still go by the old Roman calendar, where March is the beginning of their year.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year, guys, right?
That's right, and of course that's the death, again, it's always a death of something, and it's a death of winter, the beginning of life.
Uh-huh.
So they built a structure, because they build forms, which are systems. That's what they mean by builders, they are builders. They've just built the new future of the Americas so quietly and easily, and distracted the public while they carried out their sacrifice, which is only the first one of many to come.
And there have been many before her.
Yes.
This just happened to be the one that came out.
Yes. So this is your typical skillful Masonic ceremony, and we all went through it, and very few people realized it.
All right, now you know what I would like to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a real downer. You know what we've been talking about?
Uh-huh.
I don't mean it's a downer, because any time we are brought into understanding, we actually should celebrate.
Yeah.
But this is very difficult and very sounding almost hopeless, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the other side of the face mm-hmm. of this coin.
Yeah.
That what they envision, what is happening, does not have to happen
mm-hmm.
if enough people wake up to it. But it isn't just waking up to this lie,
mm-hmm.
it's waking up to the religious lies that we've been told.
It's the entire system which we call reality.
Yes.
And normality.
And on that other level, on the other dimension, the other frequency, you know, I have a tendency to think out there when mm-hmm. I think different levels or frequencies,
yeah.
and I have to keep reminding myself that it is all one, and but doesn't it come down to, Alan, right now it appears to me that there are almost people choosing up sides.
Yes.
It isn't not, you know, consciously like, okay, I'm on this side. It's people doing the right thing for the right reason. And I think about Terri Schiavo, and I think about the outpouring of love.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody who was standing with Terri and doing whatever they could to mm-hmm. stop this slaughter, this sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
I think that there is something magnificent out of this, that each and every one of these people experienced love that is unfathomable, love of a person that they don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
There is something very beautiful about that, and it has occurred to me that this could turn the tide. When people understand that love is the power and all that there really is, that is real, Alan.
Well, this is a strange thing, because they give you even your holy books, but they always leave the truth in there because they're so legalistic. They tell you the antidote to the system, and they tell it to you in the New Testament, you know, which has been refurbished a few times. But they tell you, if you have so much goods and so on, give them away.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's in need, help them, and have the faith that when you need something, someone will help you.
Yes.
You see, that's the only antidote to their system, because their system is based on a substitute for all of that, and it's called money. And that was the first trick that was ever pulled.
In other words, do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
Yeah. In other words, use your humanity. You see, there is no humanity in a moneyed system. There can only be an elite who manages the whole con game. And the rest of the people who are generally fairly poor, and because it's a profit-making thing based on usury, everyone is born with a function to work at a job. And job is from the Bible. Job was persecuted by his
like
deity.
Like Job, yeah.
And that's why you get a job. If you're one of the higher-ups, you get a salary, you see. But if you're a worker, and most people are trained to be workers, you get a job. And this is all Masonic, of course, and it's esoteric meanings, and that's why the Masons have that Bible on the, in their temples. But the fact is, the antidote is also there if the people decided to use their humanity and say, we're not going along with this system anymore.
And you know what? I really believe this, that within each and every one of us, Alan, there is a place that we know. In other words, even people, let's say, who make a decision based on, well, I don't really, this is doesn't seem right, but after all, I've got four mouths to feed.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That if somebody sees that it is wrong and understands that it is wrong, mm-hmm. they don't do it.
Yes.
And they don't take in to their realm of consideration of this, well, I have to do this because otherwise how am I going to feed my family?
Mm-hmm.
And there's where the faith comes in,
yep.
that you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You do the right thing for the right reason,
mm-hmm.
and doors will open.
Yeah.
But you have to just know that, Alan.
Yeah, but the whole problem in a moneyed system is a dog-eat-dog system from the top. And the reason that we worship, and society does, they worship multimillionaires. And that's what they call success. And
success.
In fact, it doesn't matter how they
yes.
get there, as long as they get there. And this trickle-down theory is more of a bunch of pariahs on every level having to eat off the guy beneath you in this trickle-down system. And when everything goes up in price, then you have to shaft the guy below you to make up what you had before.
Well, in other words, okay, you shaft them.
You shaft them,
but
and the
however,
guy above you shafts you.
If you didn't add
mm-hmm.
Something to what you're selling,
it doesn't matter. You see, this whole system.
No, but I mean, I'm looking at it within that.
Yeah.
It isn't like they consciously mm-hmm. feel that they're shafting somebody because they have certain overhead. And in order to meet the overhead,
yes.
they charge what they charge.
It's the entire system. See,
yes.
This system is based on a fallacy.
Yes.
And it's based on deceit and by very clever people who've been taught this from many thousands of years ago, how to run this system. And we call this system, which is completely inhumane. People do not live their lives. They run and race and worry through it. They don't live. But we call this system humane, and the guy on your who's your neighbor to your left, he might have the same medical problem as your neighbor to the right, but the guy on the left doesn't have as much money, and so he gets a few pills that will probably give him an ulcer or something or make him bleed to death, but the guy on the right has more bucks, so his life will be saved. And we call
sure.
this normal, and we call this a humane society.
Yeah.
There's nothing humane in it. There's nothing humane in this system. It's a corrupt, evil system, and it was from the beginning.
Well, that comes back once again to us,
mm-hmm.
each and every one of us, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can talk about the corrupt system,
mm-hmm.
and then the question is, are we going to be part of it?
Yes, and if we are going to be part of it.
Well, I don't mean forced into, like, okay, you know, you have to have a driver's license or a... But I'm talking about...
Mm-hmm.
doing what you know in your heart.
Yeah.
It's like people who work for Children Family Services,
mm-hmm.
okay? They go into people's homes
yep.
and they steal children.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, I was only doing my job.
That's right.
This is what I'm talking about, Alan.
And those cops try those things that were arresting the children. They were trying
yes.
to... They were just doing their job.
Yes.
And when they take you in to kill you, they'll tell you the same thing. You see, there's an evilness through segments of society,
uh-huh.
and I don't care how it's glossed over. Ultimately, the individuals are well aware of what they're doing.
It's the human
mm-hmm.
Being or the human condition, maybe, or whatever you call it,
mm-hmm.
that they know human nature. Alan.
They know human nature.
And they know what seduces people. But, you know, somewhere, okay, We've got about 4 minutes left. Mm-hmm. I want to say something that you said a long time ago, and this, well, I liked it, and maybe I liked it because I know it's true, but what you say means something.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about people waking up, I mean enlightening spiritual consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you one time, how many do you think it'll take? And you said, not really very many,
mm-hmm.
because there aren't many of them.
That's a fact.
Yes, because the light into the darkness is where that sheds away or shines
mm-hmm.
away that evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, really at the top, they estimate there's only 3% who run the world.
Yes.
So enough of us
who stand in every way that we can, that we stand for right,
mm-hmm.
in other words, Alan.
Yeah.
And if it isn't right,
mm-hmm.
we know it, see, because there's something in us that niggles us.
That's right.
And we get the warning and say,
mm-hmm.
don't do that.
Yeah.
And then we're either going to go with that, and because we accept and know, or we're going to say, don't bother me, conscience.
Yes.
Don't bother me because I have to do this just this one time.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I'll get that promotion. Yeah, and if you're part of a team and you're all wearing the same uniform, because a whole bunch are doing the wrong thing doesn't mean that you have to. So people are making decisions all the time, you know.
Exactly.
And it doesn't wash. The excuse doesn't wash that it is the law, or I'm only following orders. That does not wash, you know. That does not wash at all. They know who they are and what they've done. Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, that doesn't go on forever. There's always a balance to the scale.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And when evil gets too low, it must perish. It must be destroyed, and it will.
Evil can only be destroyed by the light.
Yes. Well, the evil also turns on itself at a certain.
Oh, that's good. You want to talk about that tomorrow night?
Sure. Yeah.
Evil turning on itself.
Mm-hmm.
Will you write that down?
Yeah.
All right, folks. We'll be back with you tomorrow night with Alan. We'll just pick up this conversation right where it left off. Thank you for being here, and thank you for those of you who are supporting this podcast. We'll see you tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you, and good night.
Good night.
Good night, Alan. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't know why I say God bless you.
Yeah.
Because that word, every time I say it, bothers me.
Yeah.
Well, I have to find something else.
Don't see me.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Welcome back to So You Want to Go to Heaven, Frank.
Thanks, Roger.
If you get this final question right, you secure your place in heaven. If you